Hi guys, I am Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, I chat with my co-host Jamie Medill as we discuss the fourth element that you guys in the HMO Experience community have been struggling with, which is not having enough time. Now, some of the key talking points in this episode of the podcast include your mindset and awareness, determining whether or not you're investable by identifying what knowledge and skills you bring to the table, and also understanding what strengths and weaknesses you need to be looking out for in any prospective joint venture partner, which has a good bearing on whether or not your joint venture will work. Now, I think learning and understanding more about how to leverage other people's time, knowledge, and experience is super important to help you starting and scaling your own successful HMO property business. Now, before you listen to this episode, Jamie's got a few words to say about a fantastic opportunity that you guys can take advantage of today in order to get your own HMO experience kickstarted. Also, at the end of the episode, make sure you head over to the hmoexperience.co.uk website where you can download a bunch of free resources and also sign up to our weekly newsletter, the HMO Handbook, which is packed full of hacks, tips, and tricks to help you start and scale your own HMO property business. Now that the intro is done, I'll pass you over to Jamie before we get on with the show.
Hi, this is Jamie Medill. This episode is sponsored by my new book, The HMO Blueprint. For the first time ever, I've put all my knowledge and experience into a book. When you get your copy, you'll discover how to earn up to 7 times the income versus a traditional property, the hidden secret to recycle your cash, how to use rent to HMO to cash flow other people's property so you don't need a deposit or a mortgage, how to leverage and scale to get passive income, and of course, my recommended HMO hacks to speed up your success. Click the link to get your copy now and grab some amazing free bonuses too. The HMO Blueprint, how to generate life-changing income and long-term property wealth with HMOs.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris. We're on episode 52 of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. I would like to introduce my newly minted author, Jamie Medill. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us today. I'm not sure about newly minted, but
thank you
anyway.
There's a person that came off the top of my head.
Yeah, newly printed.
Newly printed, exactly. Just in case you don't know what we're referring to, Jamie released a book a couple of weeks ago called The HMO Blueprint. So we will be referring to that in the course of this episode. So keep an ear out for that. Also check out the link in our show notes so you can go and get yourself a copy of the book. But on episode 52, we are going to be talking about the fourth challenge that you guys in the HMO Experience community have highlighted as one of the biggest ones that you're faced with, which is not having enough time. Now, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I have been running around quite a bit this week, actually for the last couple of months. So I can definitely understand the context of not having enough time. I guess, you know, if you're just starting on your HMO property journey, you may be in a full-time job. You may be looking to, you know, switch vocations, professions, whatever you want to call it, into property investing. So clearly not having enough time is something that you, a challenge that inevitably you will be faced with. Before we crack on, I guess, I know, you know, on previous episodes, we referred to how, you know, we started off in the corporate life and made the switch to working in property. Like how did you manage that transition for you in terms of, you know, the time aspect of it? Which would be quite
really badly. I think I might have touched on this on previous episodes, but I am terrible at working by myself. And I kidded myself. Again, back in 2012, when I first started, in February 2012, I became a so-called full-time property investor. I left my job and I was doing this full-time. And I was very naive. My corporate background was working with teams, running teams, being responsible for other people, having people around me to do things that I A, didn't want to do, or B, wasn't very good at. And then my naivety of never ever working for myself beforehand or being self-employed before meant that I thought, well, this is going to be a breeze. I'm relatively, you know, I think I'm okay. I've got a brain cell in my head. I should be able to do this stuff. Yeah. And I hated it. It wasn't because I couldn't do it. It was because I hated trying to do everything by myself.
Yeah.
So I went from one extreme to the other. In corporate life, I had no time because I was working long hours and I was also commuting 3 hours a day and I was busy and I was stressed and I was on a treadmill. But when I became a full-time property investor, I had all the time in the world. I mean, I had all the time. My calendar was not busy, Matt, I tell you. I had all the time to do whatever I wanted. But I was so poor at being honest with myself to go, what have I got to do every single day? In what order? What's the priority? I was just rubbish at managing this newfound time I had.
Yeah.
Let alone learning new strategies in property as I was doing at the time. So nice. Yeah, the transition for me was terrible. Terrible. How was it for you? Because you've done something similar, of course.
Yeah, for me it was it was okay because I you know, I've been running my cleaning business for sort of 7 or 8 years. And I kind of, when I started on this journey, I sort of made the decision, look, I'm going to, you know, carve out time throughout my week to kind of focus on doing this because, you know, that's what the change that I wanted to make. So yeah, it was, you know, I let the massive team that I had know. It was me and Jeff and a couple other people just say, look, you know, there were set days in the week or set times in the week when I'm not going to be reachable because I'm doing this. So I communicated that clearly to them and they were, you know, they were cool with that. It did mean that I'd need to play catch up, you know, at the end of the day or at the end of the week on stuff that I missed out. But that was part and parcel of it. I think, you know, once I've managed to allocate a little bit of time, then it was hard not to, to sort of keep within those boundaries, right? Because once you get the ball rolling, I was like, actually, no, I want to do this for a couple more days. And you're thinking, well, you've still got this other business that you know, you need to keep an eye on. You need to make sure is running as it should be. So it was a little bit of a challenge, but you know, thankfully, you know, the team sort of made it as easy as possible, which is cool. You know, we had a few hurdles to overcome, but you know, that's just part and parcel of it. So it is possible, you know, of course it's possible. If you want to do it, then you know, you will find a ways and means of doing it, right? Which is what we're bringing back to in terms of the purpose of this episode. So I guess, you know, we've got 4 or 5 talking points which we'll run through. And I guess top of the list, which we both sort of alluded to is, you know, from your perspective, not having any time when you're in corporate life to then having loads of time, which is amazing. you know, from my perspective, having some time and sort of, you know, making sure that you allocate that accordingly. So I guess, one of the things where, well, if you have some time, what would your suggestions, or if you, okay, I'm waffling a little bit.
Go on, Mike.
Recap. You can do this. Okay, I can do this. It's early in the morning. What would you have done differently learning the things that you did through your transition from having having no time to then having loads of time? What would you have done differently? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think I would be honest with myself, which is having no time is absolutely rubbish. It's a state of mind. You can always make time. And I just actually remembered while you were talking about that, a perfect example of this when I was still in corporate life. So I would, if you recall, I used to commute 3 hours a day. If the traffic was bad or the trains up the spout, even longer. And then I used to work long hours as well. So I always thought I had no time. But I'm just remembering back in 2011, I did my first Ironman triathlon. And that meant, I mean, stupidly, I bought a book with a good mate of mine, Bernie, and bought a book, and the book was called Iron Fit, and it had like a 40-week training program. And in that, there were 3 different levels. And one of the levels was intermediate, which basically said, if you're not advanced and you're not a beginner, try intermediate, you're going to do these sorts of hours on these days. So again, just something I've just remembered now, which was, despite having full-time job and family commitments and commuting and all that stuff that many people have, I was still able to train at the height just before the triathlon, before we started tapering down. I could still train up to 25 hours a week. So, wow. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. So what did I do? I had to make extra time. And this is definitely relevant to property. So I used to get up extra specially early. So I'd get up really early. And for me, early was sort of 5 o'clock. Yeah. So I'd get up at five. I might then go and do a run or sit on my exercise bike in the garage and do an hour on the bike or a run shuffle in the dark, doing a run. And then at lunchtime, in my lunch break, there'd be a pool in the gym in KO Wharf where I worked. And I'd go and swim for half an hour, for example. And then evenings after putting the kids to bed or having dinner, I'd then go out again late at night. So quite often I'd be exercising three times a day at the peak. And I had to do that because that was what the training program was. So this whole thing about not having time, with the greatest respect to people who are thinking that, listening to this or watching this on YouTube, think of that now. In very rare examples, you're absolutely true, absolutely correct. But in most cases, we can always make time if we really want to. Mm. And I guess that's the first thing I'd say, Matt, is just being honest with yourself and think, can I really make time? Can I get up an hour earlier? Can I get to bed an hour later? If you want it badly enough and you're sick of where you are right now and you want to find another way of doing it, and hopefully we've given people loads of inspiration on these podcasts about how you can use HMOs to do that, then you'll find a way in 90% of cases. There are always going to be some you can't, of course.
But getting up early definitely is one. You know, going to bed late, like cutting out Netflix, you know, sacrificing the pub a little bit, you know, doing all those sorts of things. I know if you have, you know, family, obviously your commitment's a little bit different, but as you mentioned, you know, you put the kids to bed, there's time after that. Are you going to be knackered? Of course you are. Mm. But then it comes down to your motivation, right? How much do you want it?
I think you're right. And you know, there are always going to be some cases where you physically can't carve out any more time. There's a guy called Neil, who's part of our mastermind group. He's actually working on two jobs at the moment. He has a young family, but he's working two jobs, and it's very difficult for him to devote some time. But to do, you know, property HMOs with us. Mm. But I've helped him find a way that he can get between 2 to 4 hours extra a week, despite working two jobs and having a young family, and he can still do it. So if he can do it, and he works night shifts, by the way, as well, 5 days a week. So if he can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
As you rightly say, Matt, it's about wanting it enough.
Yeah, wanting it and discipline, right? And I guess communicating sort of stuff to, you know, when you have a family, you've got a partner, like those sorts of things, making sure that, you know, you're open and honest with them as well to say, look, you know, unfortunately, you know, the date night that we used to have every week, you know, might only have to be once a month because I need to dedicate that time towards something else. Or, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't know how that management aspect goes. But
I don't have date nights, so.
But yeah, that all sort of comes into it as well. And, you know, if you have a schedule, I know you and I have discussed previously with some of the mastermind as well about sort of breaking up your day and making sure that, you know, you allocate chunks to doing particular things. And that's the sort of approach which you would need to take if you have very limited time or if you're looking to carve out some more time for yourself in order to do that.
So here's a painful admission, Matt. Obviously, Steve can't be with us today, which is a shame because Steve taught me a huge amount. Because as I said, when I first started doing property full time, I was, you know, very enthusiastic, had loads of time, wasn't very organized with my time, and therefore didn't get as far as I could have done if I was truly honest with myself. Thankfully, Matt, Steve and I started working together in 2013. And I think because he realized how incompetent I was at some of those things like time management, he very kindly created, for the benefit of both of us, he told me, but actually it was for me, the 90-day workbook. He created that for me to try and focus my time and efforts because I'm quite creative. I love going and doing lots of people stuff. So he created that for me. It was to benefit us and our business when we were setting up our rent-to-HMO business. Mm. But it was about condensing not only the goals you've got into smaller chunks, but also, as you rightly say, dividing up your time each week, but also your time in the day. So Steve was also the one to recommend, because I hadn't come across this before, color coding chunks of time in your days, in your diary, where you had to do this thing. So I think you're right. It's about finding the time to go and do this, if you possibly can, and most people can, quite frankly, but then working out what you need to do and then creating time that is almost sacrosanct that you cannot move. Because in that way, then at least you're going to get somewhere and you're going to get somewhere quicker. But again, yeah, there are always going to be a couple of examples where you physically haven't or can't devote the time. And maybe we can come onto that in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, just I guess the 90-day workbook. So I know, so we're recording this in October and during lockdown, sort of April, May, we were doing quite a lot of lives. One of the books that we spoke about, which you guys have read, The 12-Week Year, you know, is all about that. And I used to chunk up my time, I thought, fairly effectively, but after having read that book, I've got it down to a fine art, although for the last sort of 6 weeks, that's all gone out of the window. So I'll be glad to get back into that sort of routine. But yeah, you're right. If you, you know, allocating the time to it, and there's one thing that Gary Vee always says, look, you know, between, what is it? Between 11 and 2, so 11 o'clock at night and 2 in the morning, you're not going to be doing anything. So you're always going to be able to find the time. You know, that's 3 hours a night, 3 hours times 7, that's 21 hours a week.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, yeah, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of sleep, but to get the ball rolling, to get you started, to be able to make that transition, you're going to be able to do that, right? Yeah. So yeah, no, Ali, chunking out the time is useful. Workbook, super handy. I know we're going to have that as a resource somewhere soon to become, soon to be announced, whatever it is. But look, we've talked about allocating time, obviously getting up a little bit earlier, going to bed a bit later, weekends, lunchtimes, that kind of thing, allocating your time, which is cool. If you really do genuinely just have a finite amount of time available, i.e. you can only dedicate 3 or 4 hours a week, like what would you suggest in terms of focus? You know, what would you suggest based on your experience, like people should kind of devote their energies to if they only have, you know, 3, 4 hours or 10 hours, whatever it is?
Yeah, great question. I think the first thing I would do is make sure you've got the knowledge. So invest in your education, get the information, get the knowledge that you need to then start building. In this case, obviously, we talk about HMOs, an HMO business, but you're doing rent to HMO, of course, buying. So get the knowledge, get the what and the how first. And you can do that easily. You've got this podcast, loads of other things. We've got the various books, including the one I'm just about to launch.
The HMO Blueprint.
HMO Blueprint. But there's loads of resources out there for you to very simply, very cost-effectively get the what and the how of HMOs. That's the first bit. The second thing I would do is I'd also, again, coming back to being honest with yourself, think about what you are naturally good at or what you like doing. And then think about the things that you need to do in your HMO business that you're not necessarily good at or don't want to do or don't need to do. And then maybe focus your time and effort, because I'm a big believer of getting in your flow. If you're enthusiastic about something, if you're doing something you genuinely love or enjoy doing versus struggling at something you don't, you're going to get a lot further. So it's identifying what you like and what you're good at, and then also identifying things you're not necessarily good at or don't want to do. And then potentially partnering up with somebody else or other people around you who can help fill those gaps. You know, you work, as you mentioned, your cleaning business, you had a team of people around you and they all had specific tasks and you're a lot better and more successful than trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah,
likewise, I was terrible by myself when I started, but then Steve and I started working together and we'll come on to maybe some profiling examples we can talk about later. But I identified things that I were good at, I was good at, and I'm very good. I'm good with people. I'm good at strategy. I'm good at the direction. I'm good at the bigger picture, bringing people along. I'm not so good, as I've said a thousand times in this podcast, about the detail, about the specific operational steps, about the deal analysis. I can do all those things. I don't really like it. I'm not naturally good at it. And therefore, I sort of drag my heels a bit on that. but I think it's all part and parcel of being a bit more honest with yourself and then trying to find someone or some people who can help you with the bits you don't want to do or are not good at or don't have time for. So it's about being more efficient with the use of the time you've got.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you mentioned flow. There's a great book, I think called Flow by Mihail Csikszentmihalyi. I think
that's easy for you to say.
I know.
I'm just like, having quickly look up that on Amazon.
But yeah, it's all about flow, like getting into, you know, how you become much more productive and effective once you've found your rhythm. And okay. There'll be certain times in the day when you'll be more effective at doing particular things than others. You know, whether it's the morning, like the afternoon, late at night, whatever it is. I listened to a couple of podcasts where someone described, I think if you're a night person, you're an owl. If you're a morning person, you're a bear. If you're a bit of a hybrid, you're a dolphin, something like that. I can't remember what. I think it was a Sean Stevenson podcast, Model Health Show, something like that.
Okay.
But if you like, if you're able to identify, you know, when you work at your best, and if you're able to allocate the time that you have for that particular time, so that you can, you know, refine the task that you're doing and get the most, get the maximum impact out of it, then that will obviously be quite good. You know, it's a learning curve. Don't get me wrong. I don't quite know my right time yet, although I've had a few different profiles sorted out and they've all sort of rung a bell. But yeah,
I think, that book you mentioned.
Oh yeah.
Matt, I'm just hiding up for those of you listening. This is not going to be very useful, but for those of you watching on YouTube, there's Flow.
Yeah.
And well done on pronouncing the author's name.
Michal Csikszentmihalyi, something like that, right?
So it's called Flow, the classic work of how to achieve happiness. And I guess it all comes into time management and feeling, as you say, in flow, doing stuff you love. So that's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my reading list.
Yeah, nice. So that's really good. I think the second point that you alluded to was, you know, if you genuinely have very limited or zero time, but you've kind of identified what your strengths are, what you bring to the table, then it's, you know, partnering with other people, working with other people who bring different respective skills to the table, which will help you, you know, start or grow your business either way. So, you know, you've obviously had experience of that with working with Steve. How did all of that come about? I guess give our listeners a little bit of an insight as to how you guys have started, you know, your successful business partnership.
Well, it wasn't perfect from day one. So for the first year of working together from 2013 with our rent to HMO business in Bedford, we were all being very nice and very, you know, cordial and let's try and do everything together. And, you know, we're each going to devote as much time and effort as each other on the same stuff. Yeah. And we did that. And then thankfully, I'm very much a case of, I'm an optimistic, you know, focused person. And Steve is much more forensic on some of the things that might not be working as well. I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is amazing. And Steve says to me after about 6 to 12 months of working together, we'd actually got a number of houses by that stage. The money was coming through, which is brilliant. I was getting more enthusiastic because it was working. And then Steve said, you know what, Jamie, why don't you step away from this part of the business and you focus on that part of the business? So we started to divide our roles and responsibilities to each other and to the business based on what we were good at, so the elements of flow, and what we wanted to do. And on the back of that, all of a sudden stuff began to improve massively. So for example, where we've been taking on one property here, doing it up and then looking for another one, all of a sudden when we started dividing our time between different roles in the business, all of a sudden we found 4 HMOs all in one go that we could take on board. All of a sudden, that was panic attack. Oh my God, 4. It was way more than we'd ever done beforehand. Mm. And we had 6 weeks to take on those 4 properties, turn it around and get them rented out. So quite stressful. And we would never have been able to do that as well if we'd done what we did in the beginning, which was both of us trying to do a bit of everything. But by dividing those roles and responsibilities, by defining those tasks, by being accountable to each other, we were able to take on more properties. And yeah, it was stressful, but it was a lot more successful and better than it would have been if we'd done, you know, the old way of doing it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I haven't yet found the Bonnie to my Clyde, or however you want to look at it. Very much the sole operator. And I have, even in my previous business, I'd tell a lie. Started working with Jeff, and that was a massive help because he was pure sales and I'm not a sales guy, which is really handy. but I haven't yet found a person to kind of help with the rent-to-rent business at this stage. You know, that will change, hopefully, in time. Yeah. So I guess, you know, bearing that in mind, in terms of how you might come across people to help you with your business, or how you might end up working with the right sort of person, there's a couple of things to take into account. I guess, you know, one thing we referred to already, like personality, skill set, you know, availability of time, knowledge, expertise, all that kind of stuff. That's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect is actually, where would you find that person or those people to help? You know, you could think of friends or family, or they have to say there's a bit of a health warning with that. You know, do you want to disrupt a good friendship or a family relationship for when you go into business and things don't quite go right, and you know, responsibility and all that kind of stuff. The other thing, I guess, you know, networking events, and something that you've referred to a couple of times already, which is, you know, mentoring and masterminds, that sort of stuff. So I guess if we look at both aspects a little bit deeper, one of the things is obviously skill set and personality and that kind of stuff. How, when you and Steve had sort of, did you identify, okay, these are my strong points and these are your strong points from the get-go? Or as you mentioned, like after a period of time, Steve was just like, you know what, Jamie, this is definitely not something you need to be involved in. So perhaps.
You know the answer to that. Yeah, so Steve booted me out of the bits I didn't need to do, quite rightly. And it took me longer to recognize that. But again, as I said, the results on the became a lot better, a lot quicker, a lot easier, because we're doing things we should have done. But on the back of that, it's like you as well, Matt. I mean, you've got a successful rental HMO business in North London. You're not doing it all yourself. You've got other people. You've got a bit of a power team around you to help. So one of the things we've covered, and if you haven't listened to this already or seen it on the YouTube channel, definitely go back to episode 10, which is about the power team.
Yeah.
But it's identifying, as I mentioned, you know, what you're good at, what you want to do, but also identify people who can help you do, you know, the business. So working with other people.
Yeah.
To identify what you're good at, you've obviously got to also recognize what you're not so good at. Mm. And that's when you try and find someone or some people who can fill those gaps.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've talked about networking events in the past to go and meet people. In one of our previous episodes, we talked about this from the context of finding investors. It's about sharing values and do you like each other, as well as can you do the tasks that each other have committed to. But you can use that same view thinking about business partnerships, or indeed contractors that you want to work with to help support your HMO business. So yeah, those are some of the things I do. Definitely networking events is really key. Finding out more about the person, what they're good at, what they're not good at. Have you come across Wealth Dynamics before, Matt?
I have, yeah. I'm a lord. I lord it about, lording.
So why do you tell listeners what that's about? And I can share with you my profile and Steve's as well, if that helps, so we can bring this together with some live examples.
Yeah, sure. So Wealth Dynamics is not necessarily a personality test, but it is, it's like a profile, a business profile, a personal business profile. I'm not explaining this very well, which kind of identifies, you know, what you're more attracted to, what your strengths are in terms, you know, from a business context. And it goes through, you know, you have a list of questions to answer. And obviously there's an algorithm that works out, okay, based on the answer that you've given, you know, you fall into one of these nine categories, I think, nine profiles. And the profiles are split up into four segments. I can't remember the segments. But I'm a lord, which essentially means that, you know, I like systems and processes. I like to duplicate existing businesses and try to improve on them. And I like a certain level of control, you know, to be able to get stuff executed, which is cool. You know, that's quite nice. I thought, you know, I've got a little bit more of a creative edge, but clearly the profile says, no, you're not very creative at all. I'm like, okay, fair enough. But it was quite useful just to know that. And if I, you know, when I reflected on it, I was like, yeah, actually, I could see, you know, going back in time how, and actually habits now, where I'm just like, oh yeah, I like that. Let me see if I can implement that in my business. Sure. I do that. You know, the 10 pillars stuff is a prime example, actually, when when I came to a session with you and Kevin Whelan, and he talked about the 10 pillars brochure, and I was like, great, like why I need to, that needs to, you know, be implemented in my business. And within, I don't know, about a month or 6 weeks, I'd got the brochure up and running, and, you know, we've gone through a few iterations right now. But stuff like that, I like doing. I think, yeah, that works for someone else, so it's going to work for me. I just need to put, you know, the right spin on it.
Yeah, and the great thing about that, Matt, is I remember when you first saw that at that event we ran with Kevin, you were the first person I know that implemented that. Nobody else did.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. And that's why I've always said, look at Matt. Yeah. Matt's done this already. He looks amazing. You know, because you just go ahead and get it done. That's your profile, which is brilliant. I think one of the great things about Wealth Dynamics, by the way, for those of you who haven't come across it before, check out Wealth Dynamics by Roger Hamilton. But if you haven't done it, I strongly recommend it, because one of the things that obviously Matt's used it for is to identify what he's really good at and what his skill sets are, which you probably knew intrinsically. But also you've probably identified people you need to work with to do the other bits you're not so good at or don't want to do.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what Steve and I did. So when we first started working together in 2013, we both did the Wealth Dynamics profile individually.
Yeah.
And I did one again a couple of months ago. And bearing in mind, 7 years has passed, I thought, oh, it's about to be different because these things are purely a snapshot in time, surely.
Yeah.
But I did the profile 7 years later and it's exactly the same. exactly the same. So I am, again, it does reaffirm what you probably know about yourself already, but it also recommends tips on what to do.
Yeah.
So you can maybe partner up with other people who've got different skill sets to build a bigger, stronger, more successful business. And coming back to your point about being in flow, if you focus on the things that you're good at, that the Wealth Dynamics profile helps to reinforce or maybe remind you of, then again, you're truly in flow. And if you work with partners or a partner that has different and opposing skill sets, as outlined by maybe Wealth Dynamics 2, then again, you get a lot more momentum, a lot more success. And I've definitely experienced that. So yeah, Steve's a bit like you. Steve's a lord. But he's also a lord mechanic, so he gets into some of the details. But he's also a bit more creative. I'm on the Wealth Dynamics profile. My primary profile is a supporter. And my secondary profiles are star and dealmaker. So I like some of the deals, but I'm much more creative. I'm much more blaze energy, which is like, you know, dealing with people, helping people, bringing people along, strategy, top line level thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm good at. So the reason I'm mentioning this is it doesn't mean you can't do everything else. It doesn't mean you can get your list of the power team, which we covered in episode 10, and go, right, well, I'm not very good at spreadsheets, therefore I won't do it. Of course you can do it. You can do all of those tasks.
Yeah.
All it's suggesting is you focus more of your time, if not all of your time, on the things, A, you are naturally good at and want to do, and get other people to help you with other aspects.
Yeah, for sure. But
yeah, I find it really, really beneficial.
And then when you do start, you know, when you do think you've found someone that, you know, you vibe with, you're in sync with, then it, you know, it's well worth doing Wealth Dynamics. So there's a bunch of similar tests. I think there's the Colby A test. There's, what else have I done? There's the Myers-Briggs.
Myers-Briggs and Colby.
Yeah, I did Myers-Briggs as well. You know, there's a bunch of others, but I think Wealth Dynamics from my perspective has been pretty useful. So, you know, it's worthwhile just to identify what other roles or tasks or skills need to be brought to the table, you know, when you start working with people, because then you can start thinking, okay, so we need to look for this type of person or this type of person, which will give you a good foundation to help scale your business once you've got it up and running, right?
Yeah, and I haven't told you this, Matt, but I'm a member of another mastermind group that I actually pay for, and one of the things they do brilliantly, which I love, and again, this is linked to Wealth Dynamics, is when you join their mastermind program, you do the test, the Wealth Dynamics test, and then you share that with the rest of the community. So basically, it says, in my case, I'm a supporter, and then it suggests I need to work with some other people who are more sort of doing on the ground. Uh-huh. So, for example, they talk about being more mechanics, for example, on the ground people. So one of the things they do in their mastermind is you order the test, you tell them what your ratio is, and I am, for those of you who've got no interest whatsoever, I'm a 24, 48, 28. Uh-huh. And it does relate to it. But then in the mastermind group, it says, this is who you should be looking for. So everybody's looking for the gaps that they've got in their current profile. It's a really great way of meeting other people with opposing skill sets that you could work together if you wanted to then get a bigger, better, you know, more successful HMO business.
Oh, wow.
So I know we're chatting on this podcast, but I think you and I, Matt, and Steve should incorporate that in our own mastermind. So I think so many JVs and partnerships
sure.
happen, and I think that would help to facilitate it. Would you reckon?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. So look, we're going to stick the link to Wealth Dynamics in the show notes for those that are interested in taking the test themselves to, you know, identify what sort of profile you are. It'd be really good, actually, if you do or when you do take the test, head over to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page. Stick your profile on there. Like, let us know. Tag us in and let us know what your profile is. And we may be able to connect you with, you know, the right people so you can at least start a conversation. Not to say that, you know, you're going to go off and do magnificent things, but at least you can start the conversation to see whether or not you're the right fit to be able to, you know, get the ball rolling. So that would be quite handy. So if you're watching on YouTube, head over to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page. If you're listening on podcasts, whatever platforms, make sure you head over to the Facebook page as well and stick your profile on there. Let us know how you get on.
We should do that ourselves, Matt, as well.
Yeah, actually, we should. Oh, God, look at this. Profiles, I'm going to make a note on Facebook. Cool.
Yeah, so coming back to this whole episode is about, you know, time and if you don't have time.
Yes.
This is one way of allocating A, what you're good at, B, being more efficient with your time by focusing on things you are good at, and then trying to find people who've got maybe more time and more skills or more knowledge in a certain area that you haven't got. So by collaboratively working together, again, you don't let your lack of time or perceived time hold you back. You can definitely do this stuff. You can definitely build a successful HMO business if you, and probably quicker if you try to implement some of the things we're suggesting today.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before we go, Jamie, I know for a fact that the recent book that you've published has got a chapter or a section in it which kind of covers this sort of point as well, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about the book. Yeah, please. Do it. Let's go. Okay.
All right, cool. So that was nicely set up, Matt, by the way. So
I know.
Thank you for that.
I know.
Yeah, so for those who haven't seen it already, we published the HMO Blueprint. And the HMO Blueprint is the last 7 years of experience in setting up and running multiple HMO portfolios. One, of course, is our rent to HMO portfolio we don't own. We simply set up and run and control and generate great income. And the other, of course, is using our experience of buying properties, renovating them and refurbishing them, then managing. So that's the whole premise of the book. It's very, very practical. It's not, you know, you'll be a millionaire overnight. It's about the practical steps to follow. In the same way that we try and share the knowledge and experience practically from Steve and myself and Matt, obviously, on this podcast. So it's along the same theme. But Matt, chapter 8 is about scaling up. Mm, so it's nice. Giving you the what and the how from chapters 1 to 7 of all things HMO. And chapter 8 is scaling up, how you can then use that knowledge, but also to find people to do the work yourself. Because I'm a, and I know you are too, I'm a massive fan of, it's great to know what to do and how to do it, but I strongly recommend you don't try and do everything yourself. You're gonna do well, but you're gonna be A, working hard, or maybe working too hard, and maybe not be able to build a bigger HMO business if that's what you want. So I strongly recommend, and always have done, by leveraging and outsource certain tasks and partnering up with people to go and do, you know, some of the things you want to do. So it's very relevant to this episode. So yeah, check out chapter 8, scaling up in the HMO Blueprint.
Nice. So we're going to stick the link to the HMO Blueprint in the show notes as well. So you can head over to Amazon and go and get yourself a copy. I don't know, actually. I know when it was launched a couple of weeks ago, there was a little bit of bonus stuff. I don't know whether I'm going to be speaking out of turn, but maybe if listeners click on the link, and then post a screenshot of them buying the book and sticking it on our Facebook page, maybe we can offer them the same sort of bonuses. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do that.
All right, guys. So make sure that you click on the Amazon link in the show notes. Take a screenshot when you have gotten yourself a copy of the book. Post it on the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page. For all those that post, there will be some bonuses available. Again, if you head over to the Facebook page, you will find out what those bonuses are. But for now, Jamie, it is time for hashtag JLC. Now, if you haven't listened to it before, this is Jamie's last comment. So, Jamie, wrap up this episode for us.
This is the bit in the show, guys, where I get slightly sweaty palm and then go, oh my God, that's good.
You know it's okay, coming, so, though. You know
yeah,
it's
I did,
coming.
I did. It's not a surprise. Okay, so I've no idea if this is good or not, but hopefully this will help you. So this whole episode is about worrying about how can you do this without having any time. But actually, we've touched on quite a few other aspects here too. And I'm a firm believer, and I love this quote, by the way, I'm a firm believer of teamwork and working with other people. Here's a quote that I read somewhere, I think it's from Helen Keller, who said, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer of identifying what you are good at and want to do, and then getting other people to help you do everything else. Because together you can definitely do so much. And to give you some practical examples or examples of that, you know, I'm very fortunate to work with Matt and with Steve too, together, and also a good friend of ours, Alex Zapala. And between us all, we've got some really good HMO businesses. Do we each of us work independently to make those businesses grow and succeed? No, we don't. We work together, and collectively, we're much stronger. We get more done. We get better deals. We provide better quality rooms for people who need them. So please focus on your strengths. Please focus on what you're good at and what you want to do. And I strongly recommend you, as soon as possible, you think about who else you can work with to do the tasks that you don't want to do. So again, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much.
Nice.
How was that?
Finish the episode. That's amazing.
Oh, awesome. God, pressure's off.
Hashtag JLC done. Mic drop. What? Look, guys, we're going to draw this episode to a close. Thank you very much for tuning in. Next week is episode 53. It is our anniversary episode. We will have been going for a whole year. So we're going to have some surprises for you lined up in terms of our anniversary edition. So make sure you tune in for that. Other than that, usual stuff, head over to the Facebook page. Make sure you click like so you get a load of additional content, as well as being able to watch this if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening to on a podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Hit the like button and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, the HMO Experience Property Podcast. But for now, we are going to bring things to a close. So it is goodbye from newly freshly minted author, Jamie Medill.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
And it's goodbye from me. See you later.
Thanks for listening, guys. Before you head off, I want to ask you to do two things. Firstly, hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now. That way you'll receive regular weekly notifications when new episodes drop. And secondly, head over to the hmoexperience.co.uk website where you can download a bunch of free resources that we've made available for you. And you can sign up to the HMO Handbook, which is our weekly newsletter packed full of hints, tips, and tricks for starting and scaling your own HMO property business. Thanks a lot, guys.